97% of the population just won't do the simple things that need to be done. The game is actually action. The first thing that every single person who's successful does is...
Introducing Bryce Holdaway.
He's a legend of the property game here in Australia.
A best-selling author.
And the co-host of the Property Couch podcast.
With over 500 episodes...
Guiding people to invest
in the real estate market.
I bought a property in 2002 for $191,000 and it was expensive. And there was a time when it didn't do anything in terms of growth. And one just recently sold nearby for $760,000 and I still hold it, right? I'm reading a book called The Depression Diaries, but it was a guy who was writing a diary daily during the Great Depression. You could actually take the dates out of the sentiment and the feeling and the way that people were responding and just drop it into the beginning of 2020 when the pandemic kicked off and we were all panicking. Would have felt like people responded exactly the same. That's why I say history doesn't repeat, people repeat themselves, because we will continue to do the same behavior over and over and over again.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
This week's episode of Little Fish and Friends is a special one. He's not only a personal friend and a favourite of ours here at Little Fish, but also an undisputed authority on property investment in Australia. If you're looking to build a portfolio and grow wealth through property investment, he's the person to follow. In today's episode, he shares the secrets of securing your first investment property and outlines the steps needed to build your own portfolio systematically. Please give a warm welcome to the host of The Property Couch and partner over at Empower Wealth, my good friend and now yours, Bryce Holdaway.
I think I just went under the radar and went bang.
Well, I did. Then I've tripped.
No, he didn't go under the radar. He told everyone he was going
to
do it.
Everyone, you guys kicked it to the week before and I was like, I'm here, boy.
That's what I knew it, man. Because everyone else dropped the ball and he's like, I'm not doing it for you, dude. I'm doing it, man.
I cooked 4 days worth of food. I couldn't.
Yeah, it's Harry. Oh, I forgot. And I'm like, what? You forgot that you're going to like starve yourself for 3 days? What are you talking about?
He just wasn't there.
He's not there.
He wasn't there.
Gee, I'm loving the vibe of the studio here, Benny.
Oh, you're still, mate.
Second week back, and you're loving it.
Oh, mate, I just can't get my head. I'm loving it. The black vibe, the new canvases.
Oh, you know what? You've actually just given me. You've just reminded me of a story.
Go on.
I think enough time has passed, but the end of last year, I was running around setting the setup, and Bonnie wasn't happy with the cushions, so he's like, "You need to get another cushion to get it sitting up straight." So I go to Kmart in Greensboro. Got a lot going on at the end of the year.
Busy time of year.
I'm like looking at cushions. I end up with two pillow bags, two in each pillows, and black pillowcases to go behind, which we've got behind the seats, right? So I'm going, cool, I've got this. I've got so much stuff going on. I've got Bon on the phone, and I'm like, you know what I mean? I fucking walked out without paying, man, right? And I literally just walk out of Kmart, had no idea. Big pillow bags in my hand, right? So it's not like I've got a chocolate bar, right? So I walk out with these two pillow bags, and here's the crazy part. I go to Greensboro, and I was on a different level. And when you walk up the levels, they've got ramps, and in between the ramps, you can see the people coming down the other side of the ramp.
Yeah.
At the exact moment that I realized that I'd just walked out with these pillows and hadn't paid, I looked up, and one of me little fellas... Mum's was there, right? She said, oh, hi, Ben. And I was like, in the exact moment, I was like holding these pillows in my hand and went, oh, fuck. You know what I mean? Like I've stolen these pillows. And then in a panic, I've just like turned around and run off on her to go and take it back. And then...
So you didn't think I'll just keep rolling with this?
Not, man.
Guilty conscience.
Karma, man. I can't do it.
To be fair, it's actually...
Do you want me to tell
It's relatively people? Easy to walk out of Kmart without paying
Dude,
for things. Not, but like genuinely on accident because...
Two pillows. Yeah, because it's in the middle.
Yeah.
The checkout's
in the middle.
Yeah.
I had no idea, but do you want me to be completely honest of how it unfolded?
Complete honesty.
Okay, yeah.
Preferred on this podcast.
Because what was happening, Bonnie was waiting for me. He needed to go somewhere. And I was like... And I walked back in and I panicked. And shout out Courtney because it was like... She's probably thinking this dude's weirder than I thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So... what was I going to say? Peter, help me here.
Pillows, man.
Pillows, paying for them.
Oh, not paying for them.
Yeah, so I didn't know. Yeah, anyway.
Incriminating yourself.
Yeah. So, oh, no, I was going to say, so what happened was, I went to go back in and I was on a different level, and because I just turned around on Courtney and it was all weird, I was like, oh, fuck, she must think I'm a weirdo, and then I've got these pillows and I'll quickly take them back. Bonnie was in a hurry. I realised I was on a different level, and I come to realise that I don't have time for this shit, man.
Oh.
I don't have time for this shit. Do you know what I mean?
So we did steal them.
So no. I then had another game plan. I thought, my wife. I'm going to call my wife. I'm going to get her to call them. Let them know what I got. We'll just fix them up. You know what I mean?
He's walked out.
So I did. I had to because Bonnie needed to go. So long
bit
story
bit of an
short,
IOU to Kmart.
Joe called him. They said you needed to come back in, and that was it.
Did you go back?
No.
So we're sitting on free pillows.
Yes. Oh, no, but Joe would have called and paid over the phone.
She was going to fix them up next time she went in.
Lane, if Kmart calls,
I don't know this guy. You what, if they come knocking, they can watch it all on video and they can see me walk out with no idea, off with the fairies.
The most brazen thief you've ever seen.
Jesus.
And then the funniest part was, and after I send that to Joe, and I noticed this when it was happening, there was something, commotion happening at Greensboro. Someone had put on Facebook or Instagram or one of these things that Joe's seen saying,
Ben from Little Fishes
such
at Kmart.
Such and such going on. What, there's something dodgy going on at Greensboro or whatever. I think it was with a gun. And Joe sends me the thing, goes, I don't know about the gun, but I know there's a pillow thief around. So, anyway, there you go.
That's fire.
So the set, nice black pillows. They were complimentary.
Bang, it was all worth it. Because sitting in the seats beforehand was a bit of
and
a...
Joe did donate. Bit... And true story, Joe donated $50, because we worked out it was $54. She donated $50 somewhere, she'll remember. She went to donate $100 and I said, not a fucking chance, dude. I'm not getting fined. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Oh, well. Still going to heaven.
Yeah.
Quickly, just recent table tennis results. Brucey, I'd love to just get your thoughts. We had a hit out last night. Big boy Chez was there.
Mm.
Chez goes all right.
What went down?
It was a close game.
Yeah.
You came out on top, but it is currently 1-1. We're still square. I know you're about to say you're only as good as your last game, but...
See, I don't even need to be here.
It has to be settled. Like,
yeah,
maybe 3 or 5 gamer.
It was pretty comprehensive, though, wasn't it? I was finding corners.
It was 21-18.
Yeah, I sort of let you have a few late, but yeah. It was good tennis.
You were up by, I reckon, 5 points, and I closed it back and then came...
What about Chezza? Because he goes all right.
He's shit.
Is he?
He's shit. I beat him every day.
But you lost to him last night.
Yeah, I saw you lose to him as well.
So it was a pretty dark night for you.
I reckon I beat him 5 times a day, which you're probably not happy with that amount of games being played. But
something we need to talk about later. But,
I tell cherry up most days.
I reckon it's good, the table tennis table at work, man.
It's good stress relief.
It's good bonding, good way to sort of... We used to... Early days, that's all we did. We didn't have that many development sites, so we played table tennis.
Yeah, 100%. We got good too.
We got really good. While the food's in the microwave, I reckon it's fair play.
Do you do two...
Yeah, you've given that. We're running 5 serves, but you can get too much momentum and then the game blows out. So I end up beating Cherry by 10 if you get 5 serves.
Yeah, you got to go twos. Two serves is how they do it in the big leagues.
Well, let's play like the big leagues. Boys, we probably need to do a bit of a pod here. Anything else you want to drop, Marcus? You haven't got much in here.
How's the weather, boys?
It's hot. Best time of year. PK's got the perks on.
Brucey's legs are out. If anyone's watching Spotify, YouTube, you've got to get on.
PK's got his toes out. So if anyone wants some feet pictures, hit him up.
Oh, God, speaking of, that's another story, isn't it?
Is that too close to home? Or?
Oh, no. It's another story. Not to do with me, though.
You are. Right, let's do it. I know I say it all the time, but you are looking bloody.
Remember the Powerfish loved your legs that
on
the boat? He was just sitting there in awe going...
Yeah, I'm in awe now, dude.
You got good legs, Bruce.
Yeah, dude, but that's because you're on the bike, dude, punching out hundreds of kilometres for fun.
Someone's got to do it, mate.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it. Welcome back to Australia's number one podcast. We are the Little Fish. We speak to the big fish about town each and every week. Please, if you haven't yet subscribed, please subscribe, follow, leave a review. We love all that sort of stuff. Remember, guys, this year, 2024, we'll be donating $1 for every follow, review, and subscribe.
Yes.
Across the platforms. So that's super exciting. Make sure you do it.
Wow.
No matter what you can afford to tap a button.
Yeah, man. It's all for EB, obviously, so...
All for our amazing charity.
Good start last week.
good start last week, looking to get it out there. They seem to be trickling in, so that number is accumulating, Benjamin, yep. And we will keep track of that and bring you those numbers.
All you do, just subscribe and you're giving back to a cause that, you know, we're trying to find the cure or help support find the cure. So it's a good cause.
It's an awesome one. And 100%. And if you're keen to make a bigger splash, there'll be a link down in the...
Always. Yeah, in the comments, in all the social bios and stuff, wherever you can find a link, there's always a link where you can donate directly. But just subscribe, like, share, comment, all of that stuff. We'll tally it. Lino's on it. Lino's going to keep tallying it week to week. And at the end of the year, we'll let everyone know what we've donated. Thanks to everyone just by supporting the channel.
All right, guys, let's dive in. Let's dive in. I've got a question here. I'm not that wrapped with the question, Benny. I reckon we just get the guest on.
Sack it. Let's do
it. Exciting guest. He's been a pod. He's been a pod man before. He's a special one. He's not just a titan of the finance world, which we're excited to talk about. Also, the founding father of the renowned Valley Wolves.
Reading the wrong one. Shout out, Nick.
Fucking our producer.
You'd think that half an hour in the chair of prep and you still bug that. Oh, no.
You know, bring him on. He's the legend of the property game here in Australia. I'll just make it up. What would I have written? He's a legend of the property game. A good friend of ours here at Little Fish. A good friend of yours, Pete.
Yeah, he's a good friend. He's a great man. There, beautiful man. Down there in 3228. God's country.
You can't have... You're claiming that whole direction is God's country. Because you can't have Geelong as God's country if you're calling Torquay.
It's the same thing, mate. Bryce will be able to explain that. It's all Surf Coast, mate. Come on, Bryce. We'll have a... There's a bit to unpack here with Bryce. It's a new year.
Little Fish and Friends, it's only the second person to do... Is he only the second...
A repeat? Customer. Second,
yeah. Is that right? Yeah, second time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fuck, I've messed that up, Bryce. Sorry.
There you go, Bryce. We butchered the intro, mate. Full respect, obviously, for yourself. But
that's right. Loving the new set, boys. This is comfy and fun. I do. I did like the desk. It had that project vibe about it, but the couch is nice and...
I said that to you yesterday.
Relaxed. Yeah.
No, this is good. I like this. This is comfy. You look relaxed.
Yeah, and you threw me, Bryce. When I told you that we were redoing it, you threw me a little bit. You said, I don't know if you remember, you go, oh, I like the desk. And I thought, oh, fuck, did he?
Yeah, yeah. I thought the desk was good. But you can just, I'm sure you
got the desk fresh. At some stage. Yeah. Did it get stale for you, PK? I just felt a bit stale for me.
Oh, I like a desk as a rule, but it's not about me. You know what I mean? It's about the podcast and moving and evolving.
And still.
100%. Bryce, thanks for getting up here, mate.
Thanks for having me, lads. I appreciate it.
Coming up from sunny Torquay, bit of a trip.
Well, sunny's a stretch, but it is God's country down there, isn't it? It's so good to... you're just down the road too, Pete, which I like. So we catch up a fair bit down at Torquay, don't we?
We do, yeah. We don't...
Is there a destination you hit down there? Because I know there's a few fancy...
We mix it up a bit.
Yeah.
Bryce takes me to a few different establishments.
I do. Yeah. No, I'm pretty... No bars or anything. It's just usually a coffee or a cafe. So
it's a coffee. It's business. A little bit of with a sprinkle of pleasure, but
Flipping
it's a lot
Fresh
of business.
Still going down there? Is it Flipping Fresh?
What about that faux joint in the containers? Have you been to that joint?
Oh yeah, that's
100%. That's good. That's an institution.
Yeah, you been down there, Peter?
100%. Yeah. I know Friendy. Shout out.
Oh, there you go.
But they're doing great things.
Yeah,
doing great things. The folklore.
That's it.
Like.
Folklore. Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, plugging everyone in. Bryce, how was Christmas? How's the break? How did 2023 wrap up for you guys over at the Property Couch and Empower Wealth?
Mate, wrapped up really strong. We have a towards the end of the year. It's a really exciting thing because in November we normally record 4 podcasts a month, but in November we did 12 because we do the summer series, so December and January. So since we've started the podcast, we've always had an episode each week.
Yep.
And so the idea is we just do a shout out at the beginning of the year and say, hey, look, if you want to come on the podcast, implement all the stuff that we talk about on the podcast and then tell other people about it, let us know. And people come on, they tell some incredible stories. So it is by far my favorite part of the year. And so we finished the year strong that way, came out of January. I stayed local last couple of years, I live in a holiday destination, but I've been away because I'm a Perth boy, so I go home to Perth or do something different. So it was nice to be in town and see pretty much the whole of Melbourne down in Torquay.
Mate, it is exploded down there, it's fair to say. Is holiday time a good time to be a resident down there? Do you get around it, get involved in all the people bringing their jet skis down? And
I like the buzz of it, but you spend most of the year having some normality, and then you go down to town, you can't find a car park. And
are you a grumpy local though?
Like, I don't think so, because I've only been around for sort of, this is my fifth year now of being a local, so I'm still I still got a memory of what it was like to be coming down from Melbourne. But no, we just know where the local beaches are that you go in summer, where none of the tourists know about.
Ah, the secret spot. I love those towns when in the winter the streets are dead, it's cold, a little bit rainy.
Yeah,
that's my vibe.
Well, it was the first winter that I actually went in the surf, because my youngest is learning to surf, and I didn't think that I would be someone who went into cold water.
And it's the sharks, cold.
Don't worry about the weather. What about the sharks? No, don't worry about the sharks.
No, we're not at Port Lincoln, but and it was good. It's kind of like just being forced to have a cold plunge every weekend, pushing my son into waves. So
good little saying. You never regret a cold swim.
No, you are sharp and up and about and good to go. So the swimming's not the issue. It's the getting the wetsuit off, having cold feet on the cold concrete as you're trying to get back in the car. That's the killer.
Yeah, you feel your fingers to get your wetsuit off.
100%. All of that. In the water's fine. It's getting out. It's a hard bit.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, Bryce, good break. Business-wise, finished the year okay. Like, property market tailed off at the end of last year.
What does that mean, PK? Tailed off as in?
Oh, just the buyers went away, I think. Okay. There was a rate rise cup day, which I don't think many saw coming. Yeah, I don't know. Like, we found that, a couple of properties on the market, just numbers went away a little bit. I think people bunkering down, I'm not sure what was your take on it, Ross?
Yeah, clearly our business is directly linked to the sentiment around interest rates. But we just spent a fair bit of time just reminding folks that this too shall pass. I get that there was a lot of squeeze going on in 2023 in households. There was issues back in 2000 when GST came in, and people thought that the tax rate change would mean that there was no investing, and it went on. There was issues around 2008 with the GFC, and yet property's still grown. You go back to 1985, they abolished negative gearing. And it came back in 1987. So it's kind of just reminding folks, we had the pandemic, we had issues with land tax in Queensland. So there's always some form of external noise or some form of external reason why people shouldn't stay in the game. And so we just spent a fair bit of time towards the back end of 2023 just reminding our clients and our audience and our community on the podcast that it's a two-decade game. And in that two-decade game, stuff happens, and this is one of them. And pretty much between now and the next decade, something will happen that none of us could even fathom. Like, none of us picked a pandemic. None of us picked a GFC. So something will happen in the next 10 years that we would not have picked, but we'll be fine. So I just spent a bit of time around property psychology, making sure people stay the game.
Just giving it a perspective, right? Yep. So zooming out, and like you said, it's the long game.
Yeah.
The infinite game.
Yeah, love that. So what's 2024 going to hold, Bryce? More of the same? Love to hear some light insight into what you think.
I think there's opportunity. I think at some point there'll be easing of cash rate. So it means that what will happen is everyone will have increased borrowing capacities. There'll be an increased level of optimism. So therefore, an increased level of competition. So then everyone goes, oh, there's heaps of competition, I'll jump in, where it's like, there was an opportunity without a bit of competition that you could have, if you have a 10, 20 year mindset. So cycles will happen. People will do exactly the same thing as they've always done.
It's crazy, the mindset. It is wild, that, isn't it? That everyone, well, smart people know that you do the opposite to what the market's doing, right?
Yep.
But it's just really,
it's easy
really,
to say at a barbecue, so, and hard to do.
It's almost impossible to do, right?
It's funny how economics is so numbers, but it's so much psychology behind it as well.
But, and it's even the smartest dudes. We do business with some really wealthy people, man, and even they fucking get scared off when it's the great, when you've got plenty in the bank and there's no competition, that's when you should be like snapping it up. But you just get swept up in the sentiment, don't you? It doesn't matter, just psychology.
Yeah, I think it affects it all, but that's the value of these guys.
Yeah,
it's the value of Bryce, the experts that look at the cycles and give those people, those clients, that confidence to go, no, 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 this is exactly when you jump.
Yeah, and history doesn't repeat itself. People repeat itself. So it's not like people will do...
It's got everyone ticking.
Clip it, Bunny.
people will do the same things, right? So if you... I'm reading a book called The Depression Diaries, which sounds pretty morbid, but it was a guy who was writing a diary daily during the Great Depression. And you could actually take the dates out of the sentiment and the feeling and the way that people were responding and just drop in 2008 and it would have felt like people responded exactly the same. Drop it into the beginning of 2020 when the pandemic kicked off and we were all panicking, same sentiment, same thing. So that's why I say history doesn't repeat, people repeat themselves, because we will continue to do the same behaviour over and over and over again.
It's crazy.
That's amazing. An amazing lessons and wisdom, because it allows you to sort of step away and get yourself out of those feelings and go, this will pass. You know, what happens after this?
Yeah.
Goes back to normal.
I bought a property in 2002 for $191,000, and it was expensive. That was a lot of coin. And one just recently sold nearby for $760,000, and I still hold it, right? And there was a time when it didn't do anything in terms of growth. It was doing pretty good on yield. But it was up in the Gold Coast, right? So then we all know what's happened in the Gold Coast. Everyone escaped up there during the pandemic, and now it's really hard to get your hands on real estate at a reasonable price up there. So if I had a lost faith in the first decade of holding that property, I wouldn't be having this story with a smile on my face right now. I'd be having this story about, hey, look, I missed the decade of growth. I got out and someone else got the ride.
And that's the mindset, whether the same, whether it's crypto or whatever. Me and Pete know this so well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is...
But you said it. You said it. A lot of people get out just before something good.
Yeah. And you always remind me of that. Because most people give up, whether they're trying to achieve something or whatever, just as something good's about to happen. So the key is you just don't stop, right? And you don't sell. You hold. If you bought it for a reason at the beginning and you believe and you've got a long-term strategy, you've got to hold through the fucking rough.
Don't let the market knock you off.
Correct. You've just got to believe that you made the right decision and you're all in.
Yeah, and keep the faith and keep a long-term view, right?
Long-term.
Speaking of crypto, I'm a bit of a legend around crypto because I think I got timing so so incredibly well. I think my first entry into crypto was at the very peak. I
was about to get jealous on this.
I do not think I could have timed it any better because...
I've got a few of those purchases.
5 minutes later, it went... I lost about 60%. So I think that's hard to beat, isn't it? Some people can...
Oh, you'd be surprised, if you've only lost 60.
Some people can time it, but I reckon that timing was beautiful for me. But I'm,
good
but I'm,
lessons from crypto, isn't there? Good lessons. About you learn a bit about yourself, you know, greed and again that FOMO and that same mindset and perspective, because again, that is the exact mindset, and that's what keeps us. This is how we get to sleep at night right now. That same mindset, because we're in the first 10 years going, okay,
exactly,
but we're waiting for the second 10 years because what we invested in, we still believe in.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
Bitcoin early December 2023 actually got back up to like $40,000.
Started to run again. And I think I should have known better as well, because I did get caught up in a little FOMO moment around 100%. That and I guess the there was a few people that, so one of the life hacks I have is if there's a few people that I admire and take their advice on, if they were saying certain things about that asset class, it was kind of a shortcut for me. And so they had an underlying thesis which I believed in, and then I had some money that I could afford to lose, so I put it into the market, and then it did what I said it did. But I still believe in the thesis that underlined the decision that got me in. And so when it went south in a big way, and I was feeling wobbly, my status was lower because I say it tongue in cheek, but I could not have timed it any better. To hit the top.
Yeah, no, we've been there as well, PK, over the journey for sure.
But I guess if the thesis that I'm running with, it still makes sense. Well, then I'm happy to hold on to it for another 10, 20 years and then have the conversation like I talk about that property on the Gold Coast.
Because it's not over until it's over, right? It's over if we sell and we accept them as a loss. But we believe in the business. So like I've always said to Pete, we're in a bear market now. Most people know it does go up and stuff. It's ultimately a bear market. Eventually, it'll turn, man. And the thing about crypto, and it's the same as the .com thing, the strong survive, right? If you've invested in the right business with the right people behind it.
And if you've used money that you don't need, as Bryce mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. And because that's the other thing, people, that's another thing that's easy to say, difficult to do. That was one of my questions, Bryce. You said one of the things I picked up on was you said you had a little bit of money to lose. Did you push that boundary a little bit out of FOMO and a little bit of greed going, I've really only got 10 to lose, but fuck it, I reckon let's just put 12 in, you know what I mean? Because if I times that by 4, I get this amount, you know what I mean? Did you have any sort of conversations with yourself like that?
Yeah, my mind did wander, I'll be honest, because you at the time of getting in, there was a fair bit of hyperbole around where it was going to go.
Predicted pricing.
Dude, we nearly bought a fucking villa in the Bahamas, man. We were there, dude.
Yeah. So thankfully, I had most of that in my mind. So I didn't extend too much further than where I was prepared to go. But I should have known better. But I'm okay. I'm happy. I didn't bet the farm.
I think they're cheeky lessons, though, aren't they? Like, they're to get those feels, like property market, crypto market, stock market, whatever it is. I think it's good learnings and teachings to be like, I'm here again.
Yeah.
I've been here before.
And you know what? You have to fuck it up, man. We all know this, right? That's why I love hearing it, Bryce, because I look at you sometimes and think, he doesn't make too many mistakes, this guy.
I don't know where I've got that level of positioning from you. I've made plenty.
Yeah, because I think that's the key, because we've been in crypto for years, me and PK, and we've been up and down and made plenty and lost plenty. And we've been able to use those lessons in business,
then we've tried to remember those learnings, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And we hold each other accountable going with...
I go to Benny, I want to get out, man. I'm getting this shit out of here. And then Benny makes me feel bad and he goes, can't. And then 3 months later, bang. Yeah. I go, oh, okay, that was a good move. Yeah.
I think it's just a white knuckle ride. You're going...
Yeah.
I think you
have one life.
Yeah, that's right. So,
if you genuinely went in with the mindset that with to lose, the problem is when you tell yourself that you're happy to lose it all, you can lose it all, you can afford to lose it, when the reality is you actually can't, you know what I mean? That's when it sort of becomes a problem. And I think early on when me and Pete, and I know this from our lesson, early on we overextended when our business was starting. We definitely were going pretty well, but we overextended and didn't see the bad times coming, I suppose.
A bit of naivety.
Yeah, man. When the things were flying, we probably overextended and then had a bit of a reality check where we could have done with the money. So had to figure out how, go, oh, yeah, we've got this over here, but we can't sell it because if we sell it, we're selling it at a big loss and we're never intending to sell it at this point. So we've sort of lived that journey, man, and it's a good lesson. And sometimes you can get out of it. Some people get out of it a lot worse than us. You know, whether you're talking about 60%, some people do, you know, they genuinely, it's, you know, you've been there, Bryce. I know you have as well, Brucey. Like a split second, man, and you push your money in because, like you said, people you trust around you, the thesis is good, and you just overcapitalize and it's all over, man.
Yeah, as long as you're adopting an investing mindset, not a gambling mindset, I think that's okay. I think what I observed in the reflection is there was too much gambling mindset put in it. There's a bit of red or black. Oh, it's gonna go 2.5x. So why don't we just load up? And so if people were leveraging against assets and leveraging against stuff that they shouldn't have done just to get in, you know, they're dancing with the gambling devil there.
Yeah.
We're trying to get out that we're actually smart dudes. So we'll move on from all our crypto losses. Don't know about you guys, but I've got a brand to uphold. Bryce, can we talk about Australia's second most popular podcast for a little bit?
Well, thanks for having me on.
It's been a while, mate. You know, we knew how keen you were to come on, so we wanted to get you on. But I know this is something that Benny's super pumped about, but we want to just dive a little bit into podcasts.
They're
a phenomenon, especially here in Australia. Everyone wants to start one.
Yeah, everyone wants to start. Because remember we had Adam
Bundra, the boat guy.
We have more.
He wants to start one.
Man, more Adams in our DMs always asking us about podcasts. One of them, we get a lot of questions about should we start a podcast and, you know, what about equipment? And we've had people come in and sit in and whatever. We had Adam, we came on. Brosh, you're the you and Ben started the Property Couch. Like, I look at you guys as the OGs, as the almost the founding fathers of podcasting here in Australia, and you're still going strong now, right? You guys just don't miss a beat. Mate, is it too late? Is it still growing? Like, where what's your feeling? What's changing, and where is it going? I notice obviously Spotify with the video is a big change, but yeah, where are we at with it all?
Look, I don't think it's too late at all. I think it really comes down to the context of what the goals are for someone who wants to start a podcast, because there's four things that you can, if you're in business, there's four things that you can do to actually find customers that you've got in your direct control. One is cold outreach, two is warm outreach, three is paid ads, and four is post content. And so podcasting is just one of those posting content avenues. So the challenge that I see with podcasting is, if I'll butcher the stats a little bit, but if you actually get to 20 episodes, I think it's 20 episodes, you'll put yourself into the top 1% of podcasters. So what happens is people actually want a podcast, but the commitment to actually do it for a long period of time, and kudos to you guys, because you're in the three-figure club or approaching the three-figure club in terms of number of episodes. Most people start it and they do two, and then they realize that there's no leads coming through the door and they stop doing it and they go and do something else. It's actually, podcasting is a momentum game. It is snowball running down the mountain. It takes a little bit of time. So, you know, we've been doing it for, this will be our ninth year of doing podcasting.
That's crazy. Good effort. Almost 500 episodes. You'd be nearly 500 now, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. Well, we're well over 500 episodes.
Oh, with the summer series, yeah.
Yeah, with the catalogue, you know, we're still approaching 500. But it's so I think there's definitely think there's opportunity for people as long as they have the right attitude. And I think what we did, and I and what you guys do as well, is the content needs to be, this is what I did. Let me tell you about it. I think a lot of people get on to podcasting. They go, you should, And it's a subtle difference, but it's an important difference, because if there's too many people without any authority, without a backstory to deliver the content they're going, they just want to be a content provider, so they've got a you know, it's almost a wolf in a wolf in sheep's clothing, or yeah, a wolf in like there's no substance behind the content that's been delivered. They just want to have some form of notoriety that comes from podcasting, whereas I'm the other way around. I just want to deliver the content, and the profile that comes with it to me is actually just a byproduct of that. So it's really got to just be around having something to say that you are an expert at, rather than trying to be an expert at something that you do not have any runs on the board for.
And is that sort of saying it to them rather than saying it at them type thing? Do people appreciate going, oh, he's told me about that,
yeah,
rather than he's telling me to do something? And it's sort of like, hold on, that's a bit aggressive, rather than sitting back and going, hey, he's just sharing. This guy's sharing.
Yeah. Well, the analogy that I like around this is if I told you this morning that I had eggs on toast for breakfast, you go, sure, okay. Like it's undeniable, right? But if I get on here and I just say, you should have eggs for breakfast, the first thing you want to go to say to me is, well, get stuffed. Don't tell me what to do.
Who's this guy?
Yeah.
No, never. I'd never do that.
I have Weet-Bix. I have oatmeal. I don't have eggs on toast. So it's when, as soon as you say you should, there's an automatic defense mechanism that kicks into us to go, who are you to tell me what to do? Whereas if you tell them what you did,
it's irrefutable. It's the same story. Same thing.
Same story. And they can try it on for size and go, why did you have eggs? Oh, that makes sense. I might do that as well. So it's just a shift. But I see a lot of content providers, whether it's podcasting, whether it's YouTube, whether it's whatever platform of social media, I see too many people trying to do it without having any authority for what's coming out of their mouth. They've just watched someone else do it.
Yeah, they're just taking it and just regurgitating. So there's nothing different. There's nothing to set them apart or have them stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're running a business and you want to do a podcast, imagine if you're trying to get people interested in your business and you can direct them to go and some content that you've created, and they can go and do a digital interview of you in their spare time just to get a bit of a sense of you.
I did, yeah. Well, you told us people trust the messenger when they trust the message. Is that right?
I've heard that before.
Other way around.
Sorry, yeah, I'll get it back. Yeah. But and
everyone knows what he means. You've got to flip that shit.
Can you fix that, Bonnie, in post?
Well, no, but you are a good student, because if someone's just listening to what I just said and they go, actually, that makes sense, right? The message landed.
Yeah.
Therefore, they'll go, okay, just by default, I've earned the right for them to listen to the next thing that comes out of my mouth just because the message landed for them.
Because they trusted you. Yeah.
Whereas most people are trying to do it the other way around. They're trying to portray something that's going on in their world that is not them. They've rented the car that's in the photo. They've rented the plane that they've got in to take all the social media to try and create the perception that that's what they've got. So that's where they're trying to go, trust the messenger. And that's where most people get it wrong. And that's why I'm not fearful
yet. Yeah. So they get it the way I said. So trust the messenger.
Yep.
Instead of trust the message, then you trust the messenger.
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. No, and we've lived by that. I always had that, but I never was able to articulate that. If that was make sense. We were doing that. But I remember way when we first spoke to you years ago, first time you sort of dropped
put it together.
And I believe at the old office, if you remember, I painted it on the wall. I had it on the wall in the old studio for a while. That's how much it sort of resonated, because it's true. But I think for people out there trying to start podcasts, for me, I think from what I've seen, like the overall podcasting segment is just growing like rapid fire.
Enormously.
Yeah, which is crazy, which just says there's heaps of opportunity. And not every podcast needs to be a mainstream podcast getting hundreds of thousands of views or downloads or whatever. Really, if you've got like a niche business or an interesting business or something, and then you can, you know, like you said, build yourself up as an authority within that space, and you can sort of just carve out that little bit of a niche. Your mate,
Adam Gillett, man.
Man, Adam Gillett, yeah. That's magic.
Adam Gillett, shout out. He'll be listening.
His little niche. Upholstery, which is the boat guys. Yeah. Him doing his idea, talking about his customers that love their boats and shit, he's not trying to be the best boat dude ever. He's really just using it to sort of tap into people's love. They love their boats. They share their stories, their boating stories and whatever. Man, tell me that doesn't blow his business up. You know what I mean? And he carves out a little niche. And if you go to Spotify, Apple, no one's ever going to find that podcast just scrolling through the pages unless it's in a niche that you're interested in. So I think,
Kevin Kelly wrote an article called 1,000 True Fans. So you should check it out. And it basically says that... You will have an incredible business if you can get 1,000 true fans. And what that means is they trust the message, therefore they trust the messenger. And therefore when you say things, they go, oh, that person is an authority in my life and they recommend that I take this action, so therefore I'll take this action. Mm. And that's the frame I reckon everyone who's listening to this should go through, because most people who want to start a podcast, like, I'll be honest, and I'm really proud of the fact, when we drop an episode, it's in the top 10 each week, usually by Friday afternoon, in a very busy category, which is business. We're up against some titans with big distributions, and all of our community growth has been organic, and I'm proud of that, right? So if someone wants to come into podcasting and use me as a frame, they'll play a game that I reckon they're not going to win, because I had first mover advantage. I've got I was in a time when it was less crowded. But if you think about your boat mate, if he has 1,000 true fans who watch his content, and whenever they want to know more about boats, they go to that channel and look at that. And he might only have 1,000 or 2,000 subscribers, but they are deep.
And they're engaged. Yeah.
They're engaged.
They're like home and away type supporters. They're tuning in 7 o'clock every night going, what's Ad's got to say?
So here's the deal, right? What will happen is someone looks at boats, and then they'll go around and then they'll come across Adam, and they'll go, I wonder who Adam is. And they'll go, oh, cool, he's got a channel. So I'll go and watch a couple of his videos. And then all of a sudden, and then I notice he's got a podcast, and he goes and listens to the podcast. Now, these YouTube channels and these podcasts might not end up in the top 10, 20, 100 in the charts, but for that person, they're deep. They want to go super deep. I always think about... There is a cafe in Richmond that I drive past 1,000 cafes to go to, because the niche suits me incredibly well. I can walk in there, I need gluten-free, and I like to have a lot of dairy free. So I go in there and I can pick anything on the menu, and I can have it. Whereas if I go to a normal cafe, I might go through and there's three things out of the 25 items that I can actually get because it's got a little GF next to it. So that's not a wonderful experience for me, but I will drive past 1,000 to go to that. So the point of that story is if you can create a podcast about something that you are an expert and authority in and you upload it and you think, wow, I'm in a very crowded space. Don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
Because for what you do, for the niche that you're in, for someone who's interested in what you're doing, they will consume it, they will eat it up. And that will be one of the best ways that you can advertise your business to get people interested in what you do. And for the record, I did not start a podcast with the view that it would be a way to get clients. It has proven to be the best, bar none, 10x anything else we've done. But it wasn't started to do that. It was just a way for us to create some value, give back to a community or to an industry that done really well for us, and to try and help some people. Mm. And it's worked out pretty well.
And a big part of your professional identity, would that be fair to say, as the host of the Property Couch, such an institution, show that there's not many people that have had any interest in property that don't know about the Property Couch. And as we know, property in Australia is, you know, it's everything, yeah.
It's a great Australian barbecue topic.
Yeah, exactly. And you guys sit at the top of that.
Remember when Mike Toner, we were talking before his episode.
Oh, isn't he a fanboy?
Oh, yeah.
And he mentioned, he goes, Bryce Holdaway,
that's how he
goes,
found us.
He goes, that's one of the most core principle.
The first seven episodes I always send people to go watch.
That's it. If you want to learn the basics about property, go listen to your first seven episodes.
And I did that. Actually. Shout out to Anthony Ruggiero. I copied him doing that because I had a mate call me, Ruggers' brother called me, and he's like, man, I'm thinking about getting a property or whatever. And I remembered to Mike Toner, and I was like, do you want to develop? No, okay.
Send him to our channels, you muppet.
Okay, so he doesn't want to develop. Okay, cool. So I said that. I said, yeah, man, apparently I go watch the first, I think it was five, is it the first five or first
seven? We say the first 20. If you want to enjoy the experience of our podcast, you have to know the information that we do in the first 20.
Yeah, and that's what he said. He said that is the and he attributed a lot of his property success straight up to you, man. Like, and he's fine.
Oh, he's a good speculator. Or would it, like, by the sounds of
he's making some moves along,
Mr. Toner. Thickest thieves, get around
it. Yeah, we're doing the quickest thieves coming up, boys. Are we doing it?
Yeah,
hey, can I just quickly say, just so we can round this out for anyone who wants to, you look around this studio here and I can see four or five cameras. There's really professional lights. The backdrop you've done is amazing. So you guys have actually leveled up. You're actually at a better level than we are, right? Just in terms of equipment and the look and feel of the studio and... you know, we're really proud of the studio that we've built in our office, but it's, you know, you've just gone through a metamorphosis, you've changed it. But ours started on Stiggy's smartphone. And to this day, our podcast is actually done with me in my home office and Ben in the studio in North Melbourne, because I live an hour and a half away from the office. And the only thing I reckon that we have that is of significance is we've both got really high quality mics.
Which is the most important thing.
That's it.
That's all that's important. But you know what? I'm glad you said that, Bryce, because a lot of this is, to me, is my mentality of how
this
I do it.
This is your pet project. You love this. Every Correct. Time I talk to you, you froth around this stuff, and it's a reflection of you, and I think it's terrific.
I acknowledge that it's a weakness. And it's not just a weakness in the sense, let me explain, it's not just a weakness, and it's been self-aware as well, because it's great that it all looks perfect, right? But it's a weakness in the sense that it never needed to look perfect. Does that make sense? We just needed to start doing them. But the way I've got this thing is how I do anything is how I do everything, which can be your greatest strength and your greatest weakness at the same time. Does that sort of make sense?
It does. It 100% does. And it's a reflection of you and you and from getting to know you over the journey. I love what you've done here, right? But the point is, at the end of the day, there's some people out there who can come into your DMs and they say, what camera do you use? What microphone do you use? Can you tell me how the setup is? It doesn't matter.
I agree, man. I actually agree. And because this Townhouse Masterclass, I went through this thing with the Townhouse Masterclass, Little Fish Network, if you haven't checked it out, should. But I did the exact same thing. It was meant to come out at the end of 2022. I'd been working on it for 6 months. And I remember saying to Mark and Pete that Easter next year, 2023. literally, you know, we launch in a couple of weeks. You know what I mean? Where we launch on March 24. Oh yeah, on March 4th, 2024, and that was because I couldn't the MVP thing. It's all about minimum viable product, right? It doesn't matter about the cameras. It doesn't matter about that. It's just get it out there. And I say it's a weakness for me because, you know, the Little Fish Townhouse Masterclass Little Fish Network should have started selling 12 months ago. You know what I mean? But it's not. And the reason it's not is because I can't stop myself creating and building and making it perfect, if that kind of makes sense. And I acknowledge that it's a great strength, but it's also a big weakness as well.
Well, in this game, it's actually more of a weakness than it is a strength, because done is better than perfect. And in the first 20 episodes, probably no one's going to hear it anyway. Yeah. And you're finding your voice. And the voice that you have on episode 1 and 2 is totally different to the voice you have on episode 20, which is totally different to the voice you have at episode 100. So the challenge, and I know you work through it, right? Because I know you well enough. But for people listening to this, the challenge is that the game is actually action, right? It's dropping your action threshold so you actually do something. Because anyone who's a successful podcaster, successful property investor, successful property developer, successful triathlete, the first thing that every single person who's successful does is they take one step. They actually take some action. They actually do something. And the amount of people who are consumers and not action takers is enormous. Like, to be successful in life, there's not much that you have to do to be successful, because 97% of the population just won't do the simple things that need to be done. So the point in saying that is, pick up your phone, push record, and just punch out some content and upload it. Yep. Just do it. No one's listening, because everyone's thinking, I'm afraid everyone's going to think it's crap. Well, here's the deal. That's no right. One's listening to it. Your first episode, when you drop your first episode on your podcast, you will not have an audience. And then when you drop your second one, you might have your mum, your sister, and your best mate. So that's three people.
Not in the second week. It'll take 3 weeks before you
But
start.
You know what I mean? Yeah, the point is, absolutely. just get just in start. The game. Yeah. Just do it. Like, you're going to iterate along the way. And most people are...
And you get to iterate on feedback as well, right? And the way I do it, which is not ideal, is you're making assumptions on what you think people want, what you think people like, and what you think people are going to get value from. Whereas using the Townhouse Masterclass Little Fish Network as an example, if we had got an MVP version out, got some people in there, yeah, it may not have been a mass amount of people, but we would have got live feedback, iterated a lot faster. Whereas I've built this thing, which I think is perfect. It's like a Ferrari, it's like a Maserati, man. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Do people want a fucking Maserati? We're going to find out in March. Right?
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, you know, but we probably could have found that out a lot easier, a lot sooner, and iterated. But I don't know. I don't know if there's a perfect way. I just know that from all the conversations and all the smart people we've had on here, it's always been about MVPs. And some of the most successful stories we've heard on here are the people that just put it out. They didn't go and get the good camera, you know, the power fishers and stuff. They just recorded something and put it out, and people messed with it. So it took them on a journey. So yeah, it is a challenging one. Because the other thing, Bryce, I challenge myself with, would I push back on the MPV is cool, but if I release it now and it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, what about first impressions? What about people that come in and do the first impression and go, yeah, this is good, I say it's good, but then they bounce because the first impression is, there's a bit there, but there's not enough there. So that's where the battle is in my head, you know what I mean? MVP just to get feedback, first impression, keeping them retained sort of thing. So.
Jeez, we could go down a rabbit warren on that, but it looks like you're about to pivot.
Oh, Bryce is good at reading signals, isn't he? But closing on that, you've got to do you a little bit as well. Yeah, if that's true. Not your game, you're doing it.
You've got to play your natural game.
You've got to somehow play your natural game. If you're not being authentic and natural, I think you lose as well. So anyway, we could talk about it all day. Bryce, thanks for that insight on the property couch. Who would have thought you'd be Australia's second most popular podcast? It's amazing stuff.
Mate, I'm chasing you down. Must pinch. I'm looking around thinking, what does it take to be number one?
You must pinch yourself every day. But you can't, mate. Comparison is the thief of all joy. You might have even told us that. I don't even know.
Who knows?
So don't compare yourself to us. We're going to get into random reels. Bonnie
boy.
I am a 49-year-old man with a vision board. And, it, you know, the craziest thing to me is it's because I have so much clarity in what I want to accomplish in the future that I get highly detailed on what I want that vision board to look like, and then I Photoshop ideas and put it on there so I see it in the future. Listen to what I just said to you. I'm a 49-year-old man worth hundreds of millions of dollars who's arguably already incredibly successful that still uses a vision board as a tool to realize a bigger vision of my life in the future in detail. And it sounds absurd even when I say it. But man, it is such a great part of continually looking towards that better, more ideal, amazing future. So my subconscious and my conscious are constantly working on the plans and the strategies to get there.
There you go. That's your boy, Benny.
Rob Dyrdek. He's a legend.
Yeah.
That's right up your alley, BD.
So what do we think? It's the vision board play.
49-year-old vision board.
What are your thoughts, Mr. Holdaway? Are you a vision board operator?
Yeah, I've done plenty of vision boards. I've changed it now to, I always think it's who, not the how. So I've changed the vision board to the who. So, because it's be, do, have. If I want to do something in my life, it's like, who do I got to be? Then so just think of Rob, what's his name?
Rob Dyrdek.
So who do I want to be? I want to be Rob Dyrdek. So what does he do? He does a vision board. So if I want to be him and he does a vision board, then I'll have what he has just through the actions. Whereas most people get that round the wrong way. So I really, if you're playing golf and you have the vision of where you want the ball to go, which is in the middle of the fairway, and that's all you focus on, generally speaking, your body will follow and get it into the middle of the fairway.
Must be a good golfer, bros.
However, what most people do is they stand there and they go, geez, I hope I hit the ball. I hope I hit the ball. Or they go, geez, there's some water over there. Or I hope I don't hit the trees. And then what happens? They end up in the water. They end up in the trees. Because where their focus went is where the ball went, right? So I like what I love about that is where his focus is where he goes, where his mind goes.
It doesn't matter how he does it, and he does it via a vision board. I just love at 49, hundreds of millions of dollars, because I've done vision boards over the years, but never really committed. But I did one maybe 3 years ago, and I've actually got, if you look in my email, I've got a reminder to update it because it sat there for 2 years. Would you believe that? I reckon 9 out of 10 things.
I bet you it did.
It happened, man. 100%. And it blows my mind because I can tell you now. I probably understood, like back at that time, I was so far away from any of the things that actually happened. And the craziest part is, it's not like I was waking up each day going, I need to tick this off my vision board. Do you know what I mean? Just organically
like
fucking...
Like you planted it in your subconscious.
Yeah, and it's in my wardrobe. It's still there. I need to update it. And I keep, which is stupid to say out loud, how have I not updated it since I've just told you that it came true? Because it has come true. You've got to... Yeah,
What car do you drive, Benny?
Oh, man. What is it, Pete?
Ranger.
Ford Ranger.
How many Ford Rangers do you see on the road when you're driving along?
I'm not very...
Really? Yeah, I drive the same. Yeah, I see them.
See them all the time.
Yeah.
So it's just your reticulator activation system kicking in. So it's the same. It's the same deal. When you actually have some form of intention around where you want to go, it's crazy how much... one of my earlier vision boards, I had a... do you know how you do some stupid things where you put like a jet on there and all those sort of superficial things when you first practice?
That was the tenth one that didn't come true.
I actually had a very, very humble little few goals for 2023, and like looking back on them, I actually ticked them off.
Yeah,
nice. Subconscious, like you write them down at the start of the year.
Did you write them down though?
Yeah,
that's the key.
You got to get it out. They stay
in your head.
Yeah, you got to get it out.
So I forgot where I was going with that. But
you write down the jet.
Oh yes, but I put a I put a Harley on there, and I just thought,
I can't imagine you in that.
I bought a Harley.
I love it.
Bullshit.
Yeah, back in 2006, I had so the vision board was early 2000s. I put a Harley on it. My wife and I, she was my girlfriend at the time, but she's now my wife. We would get on the Harley at night. We'd go up into the hinterland because I was living on the Gold Coast. I'd go through Surfer's Paradise. And
that's
I promise
smooth,
you,
as smooth, bro. smooth behavior.
Rocking up to the $1 million bogan.
Well, as much as you guys are laughing at the thought of me having a Harley, I promise you, I was internally laughing at the thought of it as well. Yeah. But it was on the board. It was written down and it came to fruition. Now, the jet didn't, and I don't think that that's actually something that I genuinely want.
We'll go halves at some point, mate. All good.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll just rent
you. I'll tell you what.
See, I'm smart again.
My number 10 is a crypto prediction, so that's good. I'm staying. Got to keep it up there and hope it comes through.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a big fan of vision boards.
Yeah, I am too. You, Brucey?
In reflection of after watching that, I didn't do the vision boards, but I wrote it down. Didn't quite get the visual, like the photos and whatnot. But yeah, a few goals that slowly start to tick off. And once it's out there, you naturally start to attract to them and do them, and a bit of action starts to happen.
Just happen, man. The universe. Yeah. You're just telling the universe what you want. That's what Rob's saying, right? He's saying, hey, man, it sounds absurd saying it, but just tell the universe what you fucking want. If you tell them, I'm telling you, I've got $200 million in the bank. I'll fork something out here. And I'm telling you, if you tell him, tell the universe what you want. Bryce is saying the same thing. You'll get it. And it's happened to me, man. So I don't know. It
doesn't always have to be the superficial things.
So
either,
how's the human nature of like going, it happened to me, but I still haven't gone and done another vision board?
Well, that's right. That's where I'm sort of at as well. I'm crazy. Like, why haven't I gone and done it again? Yeah.
When you know that it works.
Remember what we said before? It's not that hard to succeed in life because you only have to do a few things different to everyone else to succeed. So it comes back down to that. But Tony Robbins, the biggest contribution that Tony Robbins has made, I reckon, in the personal development space is his six core needs, which you've got to have certainty, uncertainty, love and connection, significance, growth and contribution. And the first four are needs of the personality, and the last two are needs of the spirit, right? So growth and contribution. So what I think is important from that reel that we saw there is, sure, he's got a bank balance that's got a lot of zeros in it. And, like, listen to any single person who's made a lot of money. Mm. I promise you they go, I got to the top of that mountain and it wasn't quite what I thought it would be. Mm. And so, therefore, he's actually still... He's 49, he's got a lot of money in the bank, and he's going, well, I've still got a lot of life left in me. So if I don't start making goals or having some form of vision for the future, I'll actually start having mental health challenges because, you know, what's the point? So what I took out of that is he is still committed to growth, and at some point, if he continues to get his net worth up to 300 million, half a billion, a billion, whatever, imagine how much money he's going to be able to give away.
Yeah.
And help other people. So growth and contribution, right? Mm. So those are two very, very important things that I've spent a lot of time thinking about of late, because if I'm not continually growing and having conversations with people who want to grow, I kind of get bored very, very quickly. And idle mind is the devil's tools, right? So I love the fact that he's just continuing to stretch himself and move on. Even though the scoreboard says there's a few zeros in the bank account, like he can buy anything he wants, and clearly, it's he needs something else to keep stretching.
So they're not materialistic. He's obviously on his board, unlikely going to be materialistic things and more maybe experiences or life. 100%.
You spoke about your Harley, and then what do you remember? The hinterlands with your girlfriend at the time,
hanging out with my wife, and exactly. Yeah, so it wasn't about the Harley. In fact, it was a negative status thing for me because I know you think I look like a Harley sort of rider sort of guy, but just the experience of doing that and testing myself, that I kind of was, it wasn't on my radar. And to go and A, get my license, and then B, going, you know,
have you still got
to
it?
Do it? I don't, no.
Can I, one without notice, boys, 2024, episode number 2, have you guys, boys, got one goal that's on your vision board or... You're planning to write down, Brucey, for this year, 2024? Like, what's something that you've sort of thought, this year I'm going to achieve or I'm going to do this?
I think a marathon for me was probably on the cards.
Haven't you done a marathon?
No.
Oh, because you've done the
triathlon. Yeah, the half Ironman, which, yeah.
It's a half marathon.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, which is a half marathon. But, yeah, a full marathon is probably on the cards, which is that's obviously...
Quick as thieves?
Do they do the marrow? The full distance?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, yeah. Anyway, so that's whichever one it may be, that's definitely the cards. I guess I don't know, but I haven't thought about it too deeply just yet, but like that's a physical thing for me and a little challenging goal, but I haven't thought too deeply about anything else.
The good thing for you is I don't think that exercise goals are an issue for you.
The
thing for you is to look outside of exercise because that's
what keeps me ticking.
You're going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
You don't need to write it down to run the marathon. You don't need to write it down to exercise every day. You don't need to write it down to make sure you put the right fuel in your body. That's you've actually now got the benefit of compounding because you've done it for so long. It's kind of probably looking outside of exercise to challenge yourself for a goal.
Yeah, that's a good point, Brycey.
Mm.
Love that. Yeah. All right, amazing feedback on that reel, boys. Let's punch out another one, Bonnie.
Video shows how China is using AI in their schools.
Teachers at this primary school in China know exactly when someone isn't paying attention. These headbands measure each student's level of concentration. The information is then directly sent to the teacher's computer and to parents. Classrooms have robots that analyze students' health and engagement levels. Students wear uniforms with chips that track their locations. There are even surveillance cameras that monitor how often students check their phones or yawn during classes. For this fifth grade class, the day begins with putting on a brain wave sensing gadget. The device is made in China and has three electrodes, two behind the ears and one on the forehead.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. They're going to kill us.
Joey.
Well, they're going to dominate.
What? Is that legit?
Looks legit. That's full on. That's full on, boys.
I probably have the same expression that Joe Rogan had on that. It's like, whoa.
Is that real?
That doesn't... That.
So that means like we're that far behind.
Yo, I can't believe... How,
they're optimizing their learning through AI.
That sounds psychotic.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it'll be a great experience for the students. No. Nah. Does it? But
where's your personality? Can it become the everyone's normal? Got... I don't know.
Is that where we're going?
What's that?
Is that where we're going? Like, if they're optimizing their learning over in China.
I don't know. My wife, Gemma, she told me to stat the other day about the education system, the Australian education system. She said we sit 80th in the world. These guys are running top three, I'd imagine, or top one. Like, no 80? Wonder we're sitting 80th.
Are we 80?
80.
80. Damn. Go another one, Bonnie. That one. Too scary.
That is a bit scary.
That's full on. For us with kids, that's full on. But anyway.
Manifesting is real. When you figure out who you are and what you want to do and you devote your life to it and you manifest, most of these people end up doing what they say they're going to do and being who they say they're going to become.
If you can see it in your mind, visualize it, it must happen. That's a law of the universe. You learn to work with these laws of the universe and everything becomes very easy for you. So I want you to think about what it is you want. Don't worry about how it's going to happen. If you say, I've got to do this and this and this, you're limiting to them as the only possible way it can happen.
I never saw it happening, but I always knew it was going to happen. I didn't know how I was going to get there because you never see the in-between process, but I always just knew. The end goal, what the end goal was, and just you having that in your mind and in your heart and that affirmation, you attract the right pieces to the puzzle to get you to that goal that you manifested.
It's kind of like what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, it's just another way of looking at it, manifesting it, thinking about it, whether you go to mass and you pray and you hope, you know what I mean, or if you put it on a poster.
Visualization, people talk a lot about that. Like visualizing yourself doing the thing that you think you're going to get to, or whether it be in sport or business or whatever it is.
Having the vision board, which is a vision of, you know, it's the same sort of thing.
Asking for it type stuff, similar stuff, Bryce.
Yeah, well, most things happen twice, once in your mind and once in reality. So you think about this podcast, it started out in your mind.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, that's
right?
True. Yeah.
And then here we are in reality doing it right. So it's kind of just... we were talking about it before, but I'm an amateur in manifesting, but it is a big part of my world right now because I've engaged with a coach who has helped me dream a bigger vision for my own life. And despite the fact that there's some achievement awards along the way for me professionally, there's still some stuff that I've got that is limiting and holding me back for the things that I really want to do and make a bigger difference in the world. So part of that is the analogy that I'm working with is back to the golf swing. If I'm, you know, when most people want to practice their improving their technique, what they do is they sit there and they go, I've got to move my hips and I've got to swing it back this far and I've got to make sure the T position. And so what they're doing is they're focusing on everything within the swing circle. And some of the best people who help with golf say, I don't want you to focus about anything of that. I just want you to focus not only on where you want to be, I want you to focus on the ball, being the ball on the way to where you want to be. Because if that's all you're focusing on, this stuff will take care of itself. And so I love that. It's definitely my lane. I've got a long way to go in this lane, but the secret made it popularized around the world.
I've watched that with my kids, man. Mm. Like I often sort of tell them that, hey, because I always look at it, whether you're praying or meditating or doing vision boards or law of attraction, to me it's all the same. You're putting out into the world what you want or what you want to be or where you want to go or whatever. It's just a different way that people across the universe do it, right?
Well, it can get woo-woo, right? Manifest, it's just creating specific intent.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And visualizing that specific intent and then everything in your being moving towards that specific intent.
And that's why you pray, right? When you're praying for a specific intent. You're praying for an event or something to happen, or you know what I mean? So it's a similar thing, man. 100%.
It's what you're saying, Bryce. That happens twice. Usually happens up here first, then it happens in the real world. So it's one step after the other. Usually it had the first thing has to happen before the second thing.
Yeah, you've got to visualize it in your mind before you see it in reality. And most people visualize in their mind the negative.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you know, we got a mantra in our house with the kids. Because you remember when you grew up and your dad would say something and your mum would say, my dad used to say, welcome to the real world. I hated that. It was so negative.
So what am I doing now, mate?
Yeah.
Where am I now?
So having that in mind, I'm very conscious of some of the programming that I'm giving to my kids. And I promise you, some of the wealth that I'm trying to build in my property portfolio is just to help them pay for their psychologist bills to deal with some of the stuff with me. But I'm hoping some of the positive things that I'm... we have a mantra, where your mind goes, your body follows. And so it's kind of a part of what happens here, because my son, who I coach in basketball, he says, oh, I'm going to miss this shot. And I said, well, you will.
Of course.
You will miss this shot because you've already said that you're going to miss it. So whereas now he's got a bit of swagger about it. He's visualizing, because we've now said it so much that we say, he goes, oh, I might miss one. I say, well, if your mind says that, your body will follow. So now he self-corrects in his mind.
So powerful, man, how the information gets shared these days, because we never had the benefit of this shit when we were younger, man.
No.
And you and me are similar on that, Bryce, man. I'm here for my kids, man. That's why I'm here, right? I want to show them the path that I didn't go and go this way, this is a better way. But yeah, being able
trust me, man.
But the information that we have access to is crazy, man. I'll tell you what I did, because I've done The Secret with my oldest daughter, Brixton. Shout out, Brixton. She always wants me to shout her out. But we just did the James Clear Masterclass, man. So on Masterclass with her, I bribed her. I took her phone off her and I said, oh, if you do the Masterclass with me, I'll give you your phone back. But she did it. And man, like, just have that information about habits. You know, the guy that did he wrote...
I've had him on our podcast.
Right? Which is a great... Oh, if you had him on the podcast? Yeah. Man, he did his masterclass. It's not that big, but the information is so powerful. And you can teach... If you can... My daughter's 14 and I've been brainwashing her with this stuff for, you know, 4 or 5 years, 6 years even. Man, if you can share... It's information's power, right? If you can share with your son that shift in mindset, it just changes his direction of his life, man.
Yeah.
It just does.
Yeah.
That's the power of the information. Can I just say to the people at home, we're in the second week of February here in 2024. And I don't know, you know, Bonnie, I don't know how we've pulled out those manifesting, and that's been the sentiment of the show. If you've got a goal out there, go and make a vision board, go to Officeworks, get it printed, and put it up on the wall, and you'll trip yourself out and you'll see that these things, or the universe will open up. Because
come December 2024, see where you're at.
Yeah, man. And let us know. Come back. We'll do our summer series at the end of the year. If anyone out there does a vision board and reminds us and comes back and says, you know what, I did this on my vision board and this happened, we'll bring you on the show at the end of the year and we'll tell the story. Because it's facts, man. It's just... You know, it's action. You said it's on our wall downstairs. What does it say on the wall downstairs, PK?
Something.
Execution. Execution. Well, execution is all
that matters.
All
right. Awesome random reels, boys. That'll stick around. Let's rock and roll. All right, rapid fire questions with our guest here.
Oh, wow.
Are you ready for this? So this is a segment that's going to stick around as well.
Okay.
So get ready. Coffee or tea?
Chai tea.
Hello. What is the book you recommend the most?
Personal Development is How to Win Friends and Influence People, and Money is The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel.
Cha-ching. Good work. Early bird or night owl?
Hybrid.
Hybrid. Like that. What item can't you live without?
My AirPods.
They're important. Yeah, get that one.
Listen to the number one podcast.
What's your business? Who's your business role model?
I think it would be anyone who actually has business as a way to fund life rather than life being all about business. So it's about getting that lifestyle design. So they get to do it, enjoy themselves. So Morgan Housel is one for me. He's into business, into investing, but it's not at the expense of what really matters. So, because I think the cliche answers are, you know, Richard Branson, Elon Musk, why have I gone blank on
Robbins,
Amazon?
Robbins. Tony, oh, Amazon, Tony Bezos.
Bezos, right? Bezos. Yeah. But I think sometimes you look at those guys and I think they've got extraordinary success in one area of life and train wreck in other areas of life. So anyone who's got any sort of balance in business at
all.
So
it's more that message you chase.
Yep.
Love that. Favourite holiday destination? Can't say Torquay.
Or home. Can't say Perth.
Well, we're about to go to Europe at the end of the year, at the middle of the year. So, but my at this stage it's probably Fiji because my kids tell me that they love the free breakfasts there.
which joint in Fiji? Did you remember?
Well, I'm paying for the breakfast, but to them it's free.
kids,
you know, when you woke up and you got the smorgasbord and they can get anything they like. Oh, we love the free breakfast.
Yeah, we've paid about $8,000 for this breakfast.
Yeah.
What's your hidden talent, Bryce?
I reckon getting complex concepts and trying to make them explained as simply as I possibly can so everyone can understand.
You are very good at that.
Analogies. Yeah.
Love it. What skill do you wish to master?
Manifesting.
Hey. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Well, it's a virtual receive, but it was from a guy by the name of Zig Ziglar.
Yeah, Zig Ziglar. Yeah, see you at the top.
Zig Ziglar, see you at the top. He had a line that I've lived my life by, and it's you get everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what they want. And I
recently
flicked that on our podcast when I was talking about it because the premise of that quote is you get what you want when you help others get what they want, right? So it's you first, them second. I actually think now I flip it around where just help as much other people get what you want, what they want. And then you look back and you go, oh, and by the way, you got everything you want.
Yeah, my stocking's full too. Yeah.
I prefer to think of it that way. But when I first did it, I was in that self-discovery phase and everything was about, okay, because it was at a time when I was flat and I was struggling and I danced with the bankruptcy devil at that time. And so I just kept on saying that in my mind. This is the way I'm going to get out of it. This is the way I'm going to get out of it. This is the way I'm going to get out of it. But now, having got back to, you know, some form of material success, it's definitely, I reckon, the gold is in flipping it. Just help other people first and then, by the way, it works out pretty well for you as well.
Nice work, Bryce. Love that one. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Oh, good answer.
What are you?
Good answer.
Dogs. Probably dogs.
I'm allergic to cats.
Cats, please.
Who's a cat here?
I'm a cat, man.
I like cats. I had a cool cat.
My best friend, man.
Yeah, but your cat looks pretty cool. Yeah, but I do like a dog.
All right, guys. Just a segue. We're going to see a bit more of the great man, Bryce Holdaway, on Australia's second most popular podcast.
On Australia's.
Yeah, no, he got it right. No, he absolutely got it right.
Just throwing us under the bus, PK.
He's is the second.
Oh, the way you just set it up.
So, Bryce Holdaway, we're going to see more of Bryce Holdaway from Australia's second most popular.
Are we sure? Can we rewind the tape and make sure that's what he said?
We'll run with that, buddy.
But we're going to see a bit more of him. He's going to be sprinkled through a few episodes. There's going to be
with
more.
H and
More wisdom. Brucey. H and Brucey going to be floating through as well.
I'll be jumping off as well. So
excited for the year ahead. There, it's a good one. It's a good new format that we're running.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, awesome. Thank you for having me on.
Awesome, mate. First one for the year, and we'll see you more and more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking forward to it.
We've got some sick guests lined up, so.
100%. So stay tuned. 2024 is going to be a big one. All right, guys, that's pretty much it. Please like, share, subscribe, all that sort of stuff. Again, the EB, a follow, a review, or a subscription gets a dollar. So we're going to keep everyone up to speed there. If you want to do a bigger, splash out a bit more, Benny's got the link below for the donations. Please, guys, doesn't take much. Doesn't take any money. We just want you to press that button.
So when you get press a million subscribers this year, boys, have you worked out which two of you are...
Well, you do. Yeah. You do finance.
You know what? We tried to crunch the numbers and went, you know what? Whatever it ends up, it's a good problem to have, right? Yeah. Like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So we don't know the answer, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully it does, man. Look, if we can give $1 million to these guys, that's going to go a long way. So we're in. So take us to $1 million.
We'll go halves, Bryce. Right.
Yeah, we might. Sounds like you both will go halves.
We'll be rattling the tin. Did we bounce it off Mark?
Nah. Put us in that predicament, guys, please. See you at the top.
You.
People want to be part of a winning team.
People can find a better version of themselves if they choose.
You just need to go start some shit.
Action is all that matters.
Be a man of your word.
I think I look back now and I'm like, whoa, that took some guts.
Be kind. Be kind. Be kind.
See you at the top. New episode every Wednesday.